Are you a single believer looking for the love of your life?
Or are you a married believer looking to grow the love you already have?
If you like practical advice
based on the Word of God
with real life examples,
you're in the right place.
I'm Cindy.
And I'm Wayne.
Welcome to Love with the Lines. Welcome to Love with the Lines. I'm Cindy.
And I'm Wayne. I'm the guy in the Hawaii shirt, in case you didn't notice. Oh, wait. They can't see us, can they?
They can't see us.
Never mind. Scratch. Well, I have a wire shirt on anyway.
He does. I can verify that. I do not. So, anyway, welcome. This is episode 27. I'm waiting. You're not going to say it?
I'm not. Well, okay. I can't believe it's 27.
It's 27.
I need to get a recording of crickets chirping for,
yes,
times
for
like this.
Times like this. Yes, you do. Anyway, I'm not even going to cut those long pauses out of this one. But anyway, last week we started talking about fubbing, which is the act of snubbing someone with your phone. And so we talked about some interesting facts about it from an article that was written in 2018 based on some studies. And I did a little bit more research, and actually there's been a lot of studies recently done on fubbing. Mm-hmm. 2021 and 2022, if you do a Google search on fubbing, you can find these studies and look at them. They have some interesting conclusions. Some of them looked at whether men are bigger fubbers than women are, and they looked a lot at interpersonal skills. And then there was one study that looked about that people were using fubbing to ostracize people. Mm-hmm. That was, I stumbled on that word, ostracize people. But that they weren't sure. It sounds like there's so many social factors involved that they're not exactly sure what all it affects or how it affects or what's connected to what. So it'd be interesting to see how the scientific research on this subject progresses. And I think phone use in our society has really become an issue all the way around. Mm-hmm. Device use, electronic device use, we know, as much as our daughter tries to regulate, and her husband, as much as they try to regulate the use of the boys' electronics, it's an ongoing battle. I mean, they have, the boys have iPads.
They have school iPads.
Yeah. And then they have their own personal iPads, mm-hmm. which Ashley and Dave use more like a reward. They have to earn the time to be on their mm-hmm. iPads. They have all kinds of parental filters on them. There's only certain things they can access. And Ashley has it set up somehow that she can monitor mm-hmm. what they're on. I'm not sure. I think it's connected to her Apple Watch or her iPad or something. I don't know. It's all connected through Apple products. But we have Android and PCs, so we don't know how this works. But they've had some things slip through or mm-hmm. some things that they had to deal with or change settings or whatever, even with all these things in place to keep the kids from looking at stuff they shouldn't be looking at. And so it's electronics have just, they make life a lot easier in a lot of ways, but in other ways, they've actually created problems that didn't mm-hmm. exist before. So
people don't want to talk.
No. Well, that's what I think I shared the example in the last podcast of, we were driving somewhere with two teenage girls in the back mm-hmm. seat, and they were so quiet we couldn't figure out why they were texting each other on their phones. But we were like, can't you just talk to each other? And it's interesting to see. It's interesting to go into restaurants and you mm-hmm. you see whole entire family sitting around a table and they're all looking yep. at their phones. But
The scary thing is seeing people driving and
Yes.
really looking at their phones or texting or whatever.
Oh, and now you see people with their phones like up on their phone holder, like we use when we're using our GPS to get directions and follow a map to go somewhere, but they're watching videos
And
on
driving.
them and
That's
driving.
crazy.
Yes, that's very scary.
Well, I think I told you yesterday I was the town that I work in, which is about 20 minutes away, there was a woman in a motorized wheelchair on the road going into op traffic going towards her, weaving back and forth on the road, and she had her face buried in her cell phone texting.
That's wild.
Yeah, it is. I mean, before she got hit by a pickup truck, she actually she must have finally looked up. I don't know, maybe the guy beeped his horn at her and she pulled over off to the side, where some parked cars were. But it's crazy.
Yeah, it's really, I think,
It's
getting to
dangerous.
epidemic proportions of how it is. So anyway, we said that we would share the rest of the article that we were using as a reference last week, and we did post a link for that in the description for episode 26. If you didn't get a chance to look at the link, you can go back and look at it there. So we had talked about ways that you could help yourself stop fubbing if you realize that it was an issue for you. But then there also the article also suggested three ways to help somebody else stop fubbing. So if you're trying to help a loved one stop, here's three steps to get you started. And one is model a better behavior. If you want to silently encourage the chronic fubber to stop, be a good example. Put your phone away when you're lounging on the couch. Don't encourage them to show you something on their phone during a date. Focus on the other people at the table. Slowly but surely, they'll get the hint. The second tip is to call them out. There's nothing like hard love. I think they mean tough love is usually the term that you hear. If someone you regularly interact with has a habit of fubbing, tell them. And so I think that this is one where you have to have an honest conversation with somebody. They're very likely not to like it, but you can talk to them about it and maybe help put in a plan or a signal to let them know that they're fubbing you or something to help them develop a better habit around this.
I can see people really minimizing that
Yes, yeah.
and getting upset about it because there's so much stuff. People do so many different tasks at the same time, multitasking.
Yes.
So it's like, oh, well, I can do this and pay attention to you all at the same time.
Right. And the third tip is to be sympathetic. Fubbing isn't a real addiction, but it is an impulse problem. Impulses and learned behaviors take some time to break, so be patient and understanding, but be firm too. Now, I'd be interested to see what these new articles were written. This article was written back in 2018. I'm wondering if they're still thinking it's not an addiction because I think we've actually been to some programs that talked about what social media does to your brain and how it is addictive. Is it can be as addictive as cocaine, and it brain scans can show that your brain lights up the same way as if you're taking drugs. Yeah, it's really crazy. So it goes on to say when you should seek help for fubbing. Checking your phone again and again can become an impulse you can't control. If you have a hard time stopping the cycle, you may want to speak with a therapist or psychologist. They can help you learn to redirect your energy. They can also help you discover why you may have developed this impulse in the first place. For many people, social media begins as an escape or a way to zone out at the end of the day. Soon, however, it may become a problem. Social media may lead to worsening symptoms of depression and low self-esteem. A therapist can help you understand these issues and work to improve your response to them so that you don't feel as dependent on your phone and the world inside your social media apps. So, and I know some of the studies that I was reading that are more recent, they talked a lot about the social media connection to FOMO. It's another term that's been new since the social media craze started. And that's FOMO is the FOMO, the fear of missing out.
Mm-hmm.
And that a lot of people are connected to their phones because they don't want to miss out. They're afraid they're going to miss something important.
And I see that a lot with the teenagers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
and adults.
Yeah, adults. The takeaway is you don't have to stop using your phone to prevent fubbing. You just have to be more aware. Be mindful of your actions when you're around other people. Being mindful of your actions when you're around other people is a great place to start. You can also ask friends for accountability. If they feel like you're zoning into your phone, they should feel free to call your attention to it. And I think that's important. If you realize that you're having a problem with this, then to get some accountability going with the people around you who care about you, ask them to let you know when you're doing it. There, I was trying to follow it, but it doesn't look quite like it's going anywhere. But there was a woman who was quoted in another article I read in a publication I don't really want to recommend, but it's where the Google search took me. And she was just tired of her husband fubbing her all the time. And so she developed this sticker that would stick to the phone. It was called Fubbing Flag, and she spelled flag with a PH, PHLAG. And apparently she had started to produce these fubbing flags and you could buy them, and then something happened. Well, I think actually looking at the timeline, probably the pandemic happened, because I think she started to do something on Facebook around 2019. And I just see there's a post when I was researching this that said, stay tuned, we're coming back. But she had these like cling-ons, that like window clings, I think. So
window clings, yeah.
Put up for the for the holidays when you put up, the snowflakes in the winter and the Easter eggs at Easter and stuff. But she would just slap it on her husband's screen and tell him he was flagged and he couldn't. They had come up with a mutual agreement about if his phone got flagged, how long that would mean he couldn't use his phone. And so she would just, the plan was she was just going to slap the sticker on. But she said in the article that just talking with him about it and having this plan in place made him more in tune to his phone use. And so he didn't want to get flagged with this cling thing. So he actually changed his behavior and she ended up never having to use it. So I thought that was very interesting that he was able to change his behavior just with the threat of losing his phone.
Well, one of the things you and I've talked about too is, since we discovered this new term, is just how often we do it without even thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's so easy to do. I mean, you're so used to using your phone. I know with me, I'm just so used to having, using my phone all the time to do stuff. It's almost an automatic.
Yes. And some of the research articles that I read were saying about that being drawn to your phone it was in that study where they were talking about people purposely fubbing people to ostracize them. But they were saying that in general, what they found when they were working with people is that it was just an automatic response to look at their phones. It wasn't, and they were actually going to set up some other studies to see if they could figure out what triggers people to look at their phones besides FOMO, fear of missing out. But it was very interesting to listen to that. And we were talking before we got on here to record the podcast. So now that we read these articles and have been researching this and talking about it on the podcast, I've been more aware of it. And I realize how much, not so much with my phone, because I'm not a person to have my phone in my hand all the time. And I can live without my phone. People just can't find me, but I can live without my phone. But I tend to do it with my computer screen. I'll be talking to somebody on the phone, and if I'm sitting where I have my computer screen open, I'll be looking at stuff while I'm talking to them on the phone. So that's fubbing too, only it's with the laptop or the iPad or whatever. And I do it at work. I get distracted and I'm looking at, you know, checking an email, or when some, even sometimes when somebody's standing in front of me talking to me, or I'm on the phone with somebody, and I realized, because lots of times people come in when I have deadlines, and I'm, you know, so I will give them the option. I'm like, I can talk to you and give you my full attention, but you're going to have to let me finish this email before I do that, or you're going to have to let me finish this number on the spreadsheet, or whatever it is. I'll, you know, make a point to say either that, or I'm going to have to do this and talk to you at the same time. But then again, we were talking about multitasking, and I know I don't multitask very well anymore. I used to think I did, but research shows that we don't really multitask. But whatever you do that you think is multitasking gets less efficient as you age. So it doesn't happen very well for me anymore.
I don't think I ever multitasked that well. I mean, I can do a couple different things, but to like to listen to music or something like that and work, I have a hard time doing that. Although I know I talk to a lot of people that they like to do stuff, what do they call it? Mindless stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it helps them focus. Mm-hmm. That does not help my mind. Yeah, seems to
work. That's distracting to you. And
it is.
And I went, because I drove you crazy when I was doing my graduate work because I had to play classical music. Yeah. And you don't like classical music.
At least
music.
It wasn't opera.
No, and it wasn't country
and
either.
It wasn't
Ooh,
country.
I don't want to start anything
don't,
there.
Yeah, don't start
All of you who love country, you just go ahead and love your country. But anyway. Mm-hmm.
I am not a big country music fan. That is a long story. We won't go there.
Yeah. So, but anyway, the background noise helps me to focus. I'm having a hard time talking tonight. Mm. Anyway.
It's late.
So we hope that this conversation and the article that we've talked about over this podcast and the one before has gotten you to thinking about fubbing and about your habits and about, do you really pay attention to your spouse or your significant other? Do you pay attention to the people that you're in relationships when you are together? Are you making sure that you're making time to interact with each other without your phone?
Looking at them while you're having your conversation, looking into their face and
yes.
Not looking at your screen while you're talking to them.
Yes, yes. Yes, I've made a habit of if I have to have my phone on because I'm on call for work or something, I have it hooked up to my wrist, so I get it, or to my wrist. I don't have it hooked up to my wrist.
Well, your watch is on your wrist.
I have it hooked up to my.
Technically,
I have it hooked up to my Fitbit, which is on my wrist, and so then I have to resist the urge though to look to see what the text message says because it comes through. But my phone, if I get a text message or a phone call, my wrist will vibrate, and then I know I can excuse myself from the situation, the social situation. Go check out the text and then I can come back. But I keep my phone face down on the table or in my purse where I'm not tempted to look at it. So that's something I know I've put into place so that I can be more present when I'm with people in a social setting.
Yep.
How about you?
I have tried to not fub. I do have my phone with me all the time, and I try to minimize how much I look at it when I'm in social settings, but sometimes I know that if people can't get a hold of you,
they'll try to
get a hold of me. So mm-hmm. when I, and my ringtone is one that you can't miss. So when I do leave it on silent and I don't hear it vibrate. I feel it vibrate. A lot of times I will, you know, try to steal a glance at it, but again, just kind of quick and then put it back. But
so it sounds like a lot of it's self-control that you have to, know your limits. And
yep.
If you can't have self-control in using your electronic devices when you're with other people, then maybe you need some accountability help to work on that. So, all right, well, we've reached the end of this podcast. So hopefully this will give you something to think about this week and pay attention to how often you fub people.
Mm-hmm.
So we pray that you are richly blessed in your relationships. Until next week, have a great week and we'll talk to you soon.
God bless. Bye now.
Bye.